Before independence, everyone was called secretary to the Minister of Agriculture or secretary to the Minister of Labour or secretary to the Minister of Finance or whatever it was, you see. There was this business of private secretaries and all this paraphernalia came after independence, you see. But before that, the secretaries did much more work than they ever do now.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
You see, they were not only secretaries, they did everything under the sun. You see, that is why we have a grouse that there's personnel has increased such a lot without a commensurate increase in the quantity or quality of work.
Do you think, in fact, that the public service is overstaffed, both at the top and at the lower level?
Well, if you ask me this question from the angle of an 8-hour day which every public officer is expected to work, I would say yes. If you ask me this same question from the angle of finding employment for our educated unemployed, I might say no. But my solution to that, it will be entirely different. Public servants, you see, when you go to look at it, the public service spends probably 100, 200 million rupees on overtime. Now my own view is that it is much better that this overtime, which is spent unnecessarily to a large extent, you see, might be completely stopped. And the additional staff, you see, that can do that work, be recruited, which will find more employment and possibly more efficiency. Mm-hmm. You know, do you
yes,
get what I mean?
Yes,
you see, because we are spending 200 million, say, on overtime, you see. And of course, that not that you and I, for example, if you earn 1,000 rupees, you certainly would like to earn 300 rupees more overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, you see, with your 1,000 rupees, you can still manage. While you will give that 300 rupees to someone else, say a clerk who has a family of two people, who may make a living.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I get your point. Mm. But doesn't overstaffing mean more clerks and more forms and slower business, less efficiency?
Overstaffing in this sense, you see, now, for example, there are so many sectors of both the public and the private sector where work goes, say, in two shifts or three shifts. You see? Now, you don't want one group to work two shifts or one and a half shifts. Let each group work just one shift and get the additional men required for the next half shift or one shift, get totally new people. They are fresh. You see, their efficiency will be greater than the man who has already worked 8 hours and is getting on to the next 4 hours.
I think we better call it a day. I was going to ask you something about, since you said so much about DS, if it's not out of place here, maybe, about Dudley, whether he has acquired any of the characteristics of his father, where, as happens sometimes, whether he in fact reacted against his father's fame and his father's...
I won't say he reacted against his father's fame, but I do remember when I was clerk to the Executive Committee of Agriculture and Lands, Mr. Dudley Senanayake was an ordinary member of the Executive Committee. And whenever and wherever he could, he had his own independent views.
Uh-huh.
And he had no hesitation whatsoever in opposing his father,
uh-huh,
who was chairman.
Well, that speaks quite well for him. I mean, I don't see why he should...
Yes, I do agree with you.
Stay silent.
Yes, I do agree with you.
And how did you find OEG as a governor? Governor General.
Very good. He asked me once, when in a good mood, to guess if he thought that I had made, that he had made a success of himself, what it was due to. So I made several guesses. He said I was altogether wrong. And he gave me the reply. He said, it was just my ability to select the correct type of people, delegate authority right down the line, and do nothing myself. I think I told you this yesterday, some context.
Maybe the day before, the first time.
Yes.
Now, I was wondering about how he, in fact, managed to stay in office after 56, because I was, wasn't he known to be, I mean, by past association, to be UMP aligned? And how is it?
You see, I don't think that really the Governor General has anything to do with political parties as such. A Governor General is a person under the Constitution appointed by the Queen. And the Queen, if he makes you Governor General today, you see, has only by proclamation to appoint me tomorrow, and then you fade out. So that really there is no period, as many people think, you see, which is assigned to a Governor General.
Yes, that may be true, but by past association, Sir Oliver was in close contact with the UN.
He was closely allied with the UNP, and when the other parties came into power, he was closely allied with them too.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, I won't think that any strange of a Governor General. I mean, he is the Governor General and the Prime Minister, and the ministers must work in close coordination. And if he didn't, there would have been no hesitation in someone else being appointed much earlier, you see. I mean, it was just that he was able to get on with people, as he always is able to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've
End of interview. Thank you.
Thank you.